The other discussion point has been about notification. There's a consensus that you should notify all the other operators within the vicinity of the well to let them know that you're permitting a slice here. There is a question about whether you should notify unleased owners. People began to think about to identify the unleased owners, you would essentially have to do title opinions for all the different properties in the vicinity, and that could be very burdensome, perhaps prohibitive. The other approach would be, rather than amend statewide rules, and there's some impatience in waiting to amend the statewide rule since that project is now about to go on 2 years. So what if we adopt a special field rule? Could we use the STA, the two-number approach as a pattern? The commission has adopted it in STA and in one other field, the Luling Branyon, which is a very different, odd stripper kind of field in Central Texas. You still only have two numbers there. Could you have three or four numbers? Yes, you could. Again, the staff doesn't like it. People think it's an inelegant workaround, so there's not much support for that. The other way to go would be to adopt something like is being considered for the statewide rule amendment for an individual field. There's been an effort to do that in some of the Delaware Basin fields. We have again seen people stumble over questions of notice and questions of, are you producing only from the interval that you're completed in, or are you also producing and draining my interval? And so although we have struggled as an industry to keep from having underground spacing rules and minimum spacing distance from ownerships under the ground the way we do for ownerships on the surface, those tend to creep back into things even in our unregulated world when people start looking at their own property and comparing it to what people can do on another property when that property is the layer immediately above and we're putting these big old fracks on these wells. So if you get real impatient, you can go get a well-by-well exception to Rule 40. Nobody had ever done that until last year. Now one operator has gone and gotten in the Phantom Wolfcamp field exceptions to Rule 40 to allow the double assignment of acreage based on depth. And the description there was nice and straightforward. It's required because a lease document confines the operator to a distinct depth interval. Makes sense, nice and simple, doesn't have to be too fancy, and doesn't stumble over things like shallow and deep. Let's turn to forced pooling. Forced pooling is sometimes very useful, most of the time pretty cumbersome to use, but it's been available. There's a case this last year dealing with five forced pooled units in Big Spring, Texas, right in the downtown where there's a whole bunch of little bitty tracts that nobody could lease, nobody could find the owners, nobody could get the owners to lease. It's right in the heart of Sprayberry, which is a problem we'll talk about. And of course, if you're putting together forced pooled units, you're going to put together ones that make sense, which are going to be great big things, not little bitty things. Both of those last two things stumble over the MIPA statute. The first issue is the threshold date. The statute, the spacing's kind of weird there, but it basically says for reservoirs discovered and produced, it only applies to reservoirs discovered and produced after a magic date, the March 8th, 1961 date. It does not apply to any reservoir discovered and produced before that 1961 date. What is it about that date? That is the date the Supreme Court did the Normanna decision. The Normanna decision was the one that struck down the Railroad Commission's longstanding practice of giving little bitty tracts great big allowables, And so there was a way that you could go in and develop, and an advantage to developing on a small tract because you could get more than your share. That was struck down. And when they came along trying to do forced pooling, they justified forced pooling by saying, well, it was to give small tracts a chance to participate. So they only made it effective for reservoirs discovered after 1961. That's a problem for STA field because it carries a 1952 discovery date, which is before the 61 threshold. So there's always been historical doubt that we could force pool in Sprayberry. It's never been attempted before. Now, Sprayberry is a consolidated field. It was put together out of what was originally a few separate fields. That was from the very beginning. Abner Sprayberry's well was drilled in the 1940s. There were several other nearby wells, all of them equally uneconomic. They got consolidated into Sprayberry Trend Area Field. Now, of course, STA is much bigger. Many other fields, formations, and reservoirs, top of Clear Fork, all the way down the top of Strawn, and you know, nearly 4,000 feet thick. So it's a great big old thing with what today we would call many multiple productive benches.